keep our students focused and motivated on their learning. We're in the long haul. Kids can see the end of the year. It's obvious to everybody that it's coming. How do we keep them focused? Welcome back to the Traveling Principal Podcast. My name is Joe Clossy, and I'm your traveling principal, the host of the show. This is a show intended to be synonymous to the feeling you get when the Friday afternoon meeting goes to Zoom and then gets canceled, meaning you actually have a lunch for the first time this week. All right, enough of that. Today we're diving into a crucial topic for educators everywhere, keeping our students motivated as we head into the final stretch of the school year. It's no secret that this time of year can be challenging, with both students and teachers feeling the wear and tear of a long academic journey. So, let the traveling principal share some powerful strategies that can help reignite that spark and keep the momentum going strong for you guys. Here's 5 tips that you can explore to enhance student focus and motivation this late in the year, and also throughout the year as well. Doesn't have to be just in the middle of the spring semester. So here's 5 good ones. Okay, so number 1, set clear and achievable goals. Achievable goals for students that are transparent can give them something tangible to work towards and help maintain their focus. Break larger projects into smaller, manageable tasks and celebrate each milestone along the way. This can create a sense of accomplishment and keep students motivated. We talked to Mitch Weathers not long ago on the show about executive functions, and goal setting is one of them. This creates purpose. It attaches intrinsic value to reaching and achieving these goals, right? The efforts that are put forth have a connection when they're done correctly, okay? What about calendaring this as well? Prioritizing how time is spent and ensuring that it revolves around meeting the goals set is crucial. What about giving time to work on this and reflect or revise or study daily? Gosh, all executive functions that Mitch's program Organized Binder covers. By the way, he's still like top 6 bestseller in special education on Amazon. So I'm not the only one who thinks this way. Okay. Number 2, incorporate fun and engaging activities. So by incorporating fun and engaging activities into your lesson, it could be, let's say, interactive games, group projects, hands-on experiments, but by making learning enjoyable, you can capture students' interest and make them look forward to class each day. I mean, here's a question for you, or here's a couple of questions now that I'm thinking about it, that you might be able to consider when trying to figure out how to make incorporate fun and engaging activities into what you're teaching. What are you doing to make learning come alive? You know what I mean? Like, it's one thing to answer 30 questions about adding and subtracting on a worksheet. It's another to note a bank account and have that attached to financials, like abilities, such as buying specific, let's say, a car or a place to live or what have you. Just attaching it to, you know, making it come alive, giving it purpose. How about this one? You know, I was thinking this one just a few seconds ago. How can you make it competitive? How can you make it competitive? This is an indirect goal for kids that they set internally, where like they want to rank in a certain place that they're comfortable with. Think about the Jedi mindset there, you know? I mean, if you're looking to make learning come alive and you create some sort of interactive game that is super easy, you know, you just create rules, kids are in rows, whatever, pass everything to the front, starts in the back or wherever. Awarding points, taking them away for behavior, taking them away for whatever, having them be earned and bonus points, things like that. having certain students keep score, certain students keep rules, certain students announce, and then let the games begin. You don't have to be like the who was it, the guy I'm thinking of, Pat Sajak, right? The old you don't have to be, you know, that popular. You don't have to be the center, right? You can allow a kid who is sort of like that, or take turns, have it be something that's earned as well. Like, the opportunities are endless when you're talking about competition. So a third one here, which is all too often overlooked and is so easy. Oh man, this one's effortless. So here's an effortless way to keep your kids focused. Third reason, positive reinforcement. It plays a significant role in keeping students motivated. Recognize and reward effort and achievement, whether it's through verbal praise, certificates, small rewards, weekly, you know, grab bags. This acknowledgement will boost confidence and encourage students to keep pushing forward, I guarantee you. I cannot focus enough on this topic. And if you don't give praise and catch students for doing right, then all you're doing is showing them what they're doing wrong. This means that the student only hears negativity. Then they attach you to anything negative, and sentiments are connected, although misconstrued. It takes a second and travels a mile. Watch. Even if you don't really mean it, it works nonetheless. It travels. It also keeps things positive. You know? Come on, man. Here's another one for you. Number four, connect learning to real-world scenarios. So, showing students how their learning applies to the real world can be incredibly motivating. Sharing real-life examples, inviting guest speakers, or organizing field trips, virtual or in person, that relate to the curriculum. When students see the relevance of what they're learning, they're more likely to stay engaged. I mean, an example, just yesterday, I watched a soccer match. My kids play soccer, and there was a high level, I believe it's called MLS Next. It's the highest level that kids play in that age. And so I think this was like 15 or 16 year olds. And these kids, there was two teams, these boys, two boy teams, but there was a female student on the one, a female kid, I mean. And I was watching, my daughter and I were sitting there watching her, and all of a sudden I notice it, and I'm like, wow, look at that. I didn't know. At this level, and the coach had come over, and he was like, yeah, let me tell you something. That girl right there is, you know, of maybe only 12 others playing in that league. And so here I am thinking to myself, like, wow, you know, she is totally bringing it. You know, she was amazing. I got to say, she was far beyond the ability of the other boys that were there. They weren't even giving her the ball. It's just too obvious. When she would get it, she would clean it up. She would redirect. She was faster than all of them. It was obvious. And I watched her for 30 seconds. So that being said, my point is, and the reason why I bring that up, the coach was saying, you know, maybe I can get her to come and talk to the girls. And if she talks to them about her workout regimen and how she trains and the importance of respect that she has for the game, maybe the girls will hear it a little bit better and, or more effectively than him saying it to them over and over and over again. Connecting what he's teaching them to the ability of what could happen if they did it the way this girl does it, which was the same way the coach was talking about, was in the same league. Wow. You know, that, I was like, gosh, my daughter, here's this girl, you know, here she is watching her play in awe as it is. And so really connecting to real world scenarios, you know, but we know this. I talk about connecting your purpose all the time. If you're not connecting and creating a why to what is learned, don't bother teaching something we can find on ChatGPT. Teach something new and then have students apply it to the real world somehow or to their own lives. It's embedded into this workshop model lesson plan that I'm constantly trying to get teachers to work with. It almost demands that everything that is taught is then applied somehow with a connection to real world. So number four, I really can't harp enough on connecting learning to real world scenarios, especially when you're talking about your higher grades. You know, these kids are about to go out into the real world. So everything that you're doing is supposed to prepare them. You know, we just have this misunderstanding that everything that we're doing should prepare them for college. And that assumption is not right. It is not how we should be going about things. It is a way we could go about them, but not the way. It is not what defines success. And so, not to go off on that tangent and digression. Number five, foster a supportive classroom environment, man. Come on. It's essential. Encourage collaboration. Provide emotional support. And be approachable. Be approachable. You know, kids are super stressed. They're wearing the weight of all of the things they either did not do or did not do well or still have to do on their shoulders. And when students feel supported and understood, they're more likely to stay motivated and committed to their academics, to their what they are responsible for. I've been in a bunch of rooms lately, and I'm seeing walls dedicated to results. I'm seeing walls decorated with current graded school student work, with rubrics to show how the grades were given, right? The old New York City way. I've seen rooms with dedicated space for conferences that can't fit more than three people at a time, which I thought was quite unique. You know, so maybe the teacher and two other kids, maybe just three kids, maybe two kids, teacher and an individual student. Who knows? You know, but it was like a separate quarantined studio. Really, really cool. I've seen dedicated walls to students' bonus points. Oh my gosh, how often I go around talking about points are free and giving these points out, and here they are celebrated for all. And if you think about it, if you start something like that in August or September, come May, you know, most of your room should be covered in bonus points. So unless kids keep cashing them in, which is the point of it. So dedicated walls to the goal the class has, you know, maybe something that they're trying to get a certain passing percentage on a Regents exam or an SBAC score or whatever, you know, up, visible. Here it is, thermometer. You know, here's our temperature. Here's where we got to get to. Here's where we're at now. I've been in rooms with the same stuff, though, from August and September. And it's here we are late May. No student work. School rules that include things like no weapons and tobacco allowed. Maybe an emergency folder with an evacuation route and a shoe, like a shoebox sized phone box on the wall. Anyone in any subject could walk in and teach in that room. No possible way to determine whose room it was, let alone the subject taught. And I've been in rooms where one teacher in particular had walls covered in Jaws memorabilia. And it was incredible. Every time I went in and walked straight over, it was just fantastic. Kids loved it. And the teacher had a clear obsession to the film and connected it in silly ways to everything that they taught, which the kids loved. And I thought was like, so inviting, man. I mean, think about that for a second. Which would you rather, go into a school where you don't know what subject is being taught, or go into a school that literally has, like, still in the box from, I don't know, when it was, like, early 80s, you know? Like, that stuff is inviting. It says, this is mine, this is where I teach, let me share this with you, because I'm passionate about it. And it almost asks the question, what are you passionate about? So, I mean, you know, student-centered learning provides class time for connecting with kids. The workshop model lesson plan with a starter, a mini lesson, applying new information, sharing as a class, and an exit strategy. This leads to the ability to visit with students and talk with them, to learn what they need support on, and how you can do that can be worked out together with that student. I mean, I'm just saying that perfectly provides the opportunity for all of the above. But motivating students during the final weeks of the school year can be challenging. But with the right strategies, it's absolutely possible. I know we're burnt. I know we're in it. But if you remember to set some clear goals, make learning fun, offer positive reinforcement, and connect lessons to real-world scenarios, which all foster a supportive environment, you can do it, man. It's absolutely possible. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to the Traveling Principal Podcast. My name is Joe Colossi saying, let's finish this school year strong and keep inspiring our students to achieve their best. Use one of those ways to enhance what you're already doing because it will work, I promise you. Until next time, take care, my friends, and stay motivated.